Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Rightly Related.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Psalms 100. Let us listen to God's word for us. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
As you know, we have been filling the gap left by the comma in the Apostles' Creed between born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. And we've been doing so by looking at the I am statements of Jesus. So we come this morning to John chapter 15, beginning at the first verse, and hear these words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, thank you for this gift you have given to us. And so we would now pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. So as we've been looking at these I am statements of Jesus during the past several weeks, I think it would be safe for us to say that we want what Jesus offers to us. He says, I am the bread of life. And we say we want that kind of spiritual nourishment that only he can give. He says that he is the gate. And we say we want that kind of access and egress into the presence of God and among God's people and then out again into a world, into the abundant life that he offers to us. He calls himself the Good Shepherd, and we pray for his care and protection, even as we do for his illumination as he is the light of the world, and for his guidance as he is the way, the truth, and the life. And ultimately, then, we put our eternal hope and trust in him as he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We want what Jesus has to offer. But the question that I'd like to reflect with you this morning is, how can we attain that? How can we gain what Jesus has to offer us? It is one thing to know that these promises are out there and available, and yet another to have claimed them for ourselves. And I believe that Jesus answers our question this morning as we look at this, his seventh and final of his I am statements, when he says, I am the true vine. I believe this is probably the simplest and the easiest of Jesus' statements about himself for us to understand, as well as the most practical, the most applicable for us. Any child knows that a flower plucked from the ground or a branch cut off from the tree is only going to wither and die. It's a very simple principle to understand that one must remain connected or attached to its life source if it's going to continue to grow and live and thrive. And so what is true biologically, Jesus is saying, is also true spiritually. Now, I don't want to be the guy who explains the joke or, in this case, makes Jesus' very simple and clear teaching more complex than it really is. So let me offer this as a sermon in a sentence. Our spiritual life and vitality is dependent on our being rightly related to God the Father through Jesus the Son. And without it, without that right relationship, we can't bear the fruit of it. And let me be clear in saying that this is not so much a threat as it is a magnificent invitation. Let's look at the way Jesus explains and applies this truth. He says, I am the true vine. In fact, in the Greek, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Even those of us without a green thumb can understand some basic principles of horticulture. The vine does not grow independent on its own. It is planted and rooted in the soil. And so what Jesus is saying, he says, I am the true vine, and he is stating that he is not some fresh start, Johnny-come-lately prophet introducing a new way to God, but rather that he is a living vine that he is planted and grounded in the great historic tradition of the Jewish faith, the teachings of the law and the prophets. And that now he is fulfilling and then replacing that ancient tradition by establishing a new covenant. And so if we want to be inheritors of the promises of God, promises that go all the way back to the time of Abraham and Sarah, then what we need to do is be rightly related to him. And he identifies that vital connectedness when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Listen in this lesson to the word that Jesus uses to describe this right relationship and how frequently he uses it. The word is abide, as we just sang together. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, but apart from me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I can think of no more beautiful promise or invitation that Jesus gives to us than this. He is inviting us to enter into a relationship with him that is like the relationship he has with the Heavenly Father. He invites us to abide in his love. And what does he mean by that? The word abide means to make your home with, to continue with, to remain in or with. In short, Jesus is saying, stick with me, which implies something different than a command or a directive. This is an invitation to enter into the kind of intimate friendship, a committed and loving relationship with Jesus. We all know the difference of being a guest in someone's home or a visitor in someone's home and actually being at home ourselves. To be at home means I can be relaxed and comfortable. I can be myself there. And Jesus is inviting us to be at home with him and in him, to be rightly related to him as a branch is to the vine. Friends, this is his desire for us. And he desires that it be our desire as well. This morning at the 9 o'clock service, we baptized Finley Rogue Sears, the son of Aaron and Brody Sears. And one of the fascinating statements in the baptismal liturgy is that we are being engrafted into the body of Christ. engrafted. It's another horticultural term. It speaks of the process, and you'll recall this from eighth grade biology class. You cut a notch in the tree, then you stick a new branch into the notch, you bind it together, and soon that new branch begins to take its life source from the tree and its roots. That's what happens when we're baptized. We are engrafted into the body of Christ, who is our source of the only true life we'll ever know. So let me repeat our sermon in a sentence. Our spiritual life and vitality is dependent on our being rightly related, our abiding in, our being engrafted into God the Father through faith in Jesus the Son. And without it, we can't bear the fruit of that good relationship. As Jesus is describing the importance of the relationship, he says, he, meaning the vine grower, God the Father, removes every branch that does not bear fruit. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Is this a judgment teaching of our Lord? It is. But we can also hear it as a plea, as a reality check, as a stressor of the importance of our abiding, of our being rightly related to God through Christ. Because without that connectedness, we can't bear the fruit, we can't reap the benefit of a relationship with God. We know that when we are in a right relationship with someone, and also we know when we're not in a right relationship with someone, and that includes our relationship with God. So we can apply this teaching in many different ways to our everyday lives. Last week, when we looked at Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I made a comment that many confess to feeling cut off from God, distant from God, living lives of distraction or emptiness or meaninglessness or despair. My use of the word distraction, and as I looked back on that sermon, I only used the word once, but it caught the attention of one of you who must have been listening very carefully. Jeannie Rieger wrote me an email late Sunday afternoon, and with her permission, I want to share it with you. She writes, yesterday, I had been getting ready to lecture on orthopedic surgery. Believe me, I didn't use the word orthopedic surgery in the sermon anywhere. But yesterday, as I was getting ready to lecture on orthopedic surgery, there is a part where I teach about traction and distraction. Distraction is referring to bones that are displaced and broken apart. Traction is pulling them together and putting them all in the same direction. You used the word distraction in your sermon, and I started thinking how sometimes I am distracted, and how being a follower of Jesus gives my life traction to go in one direction, toward Him. Another good sermon in a sentence, right? Jesus' desire for us is that we gain traction, that we gain alignment with Him, so that when He talks about branches that need to be cut off because they are not bearing any fruit, He isn't telling us anything we don't already know about ourselves. There are parts of our lives that simply need to be cut off and thrown into the fire, done away with, because they are a distraction in our relationship with God or our right relationships with others. Now, very curiously, Jesus uses two very different words to talk about that cutting process. And again, both of them make sense horticulturally. He speaks of what we would call lopping, or just cutting off the dead wood. But he also speaks of pruning, or what he would call the cleansing cut, which is intended to make the cut so that it will bear more fruit. While it would be true to say that both kinds of cutting are for the benefit of the plant, I think it would also be safe to say that, at least from the plant's perspective, both kinds of cutting are very painful. The problem is, when we experience pain and sorrow and suffering and grief in our own lives, We don't know whether we're being lopped or pruned, do we? Because either way, it's still really painful. This past week, I read a powerful little book by Philip Yancey titled The Question That Never Goes Away, Why? Philip Yancey, you'll recall, is the author of the bestseller Where Is God When It Hurts. In this follow-up volume, he cites experiences of those who have suffered tremendous tragedy around the globe, from Columbine to Sarajevo, from Sandy Hook in Newtown to the Fukushima power plant in Japan. And understandably, these kinds of experiences prompt us to ask the question, why? But interestingly enough, Yancey writes of hearing two repeated refrains as he talks with these people who have suffered. The first being, many would say that their suffering became the catalyst for their growing relationship with God. And while none of them would ever say they were thankful for the tragedy, many would say they are thankful for what has come out of the tragedy. Rather than moving them away from God, they found that that experience brought them closer to God and deeper in their relationship with God, as well as with those who came around them in a time of need. And the second refrain that he heard repeatedly is people saying, I don't know how I ever would have made it through that experience without the presence of God. Jesus' promise, I am with you always, suddenly takes on great new meaning in our times of suffering, of sorrow, of grief, of pain. For these individuals, the cutting they experienced then was not so much lopping as it was pruning. And how did they know? Because they experienced new growth. They experienced new fruit because of it. The growth came from their abiding with or being at home with Jesus. The fruit came from their being rightly related to him. So my question for today is, how do we get that? How do we attain that? How do we enter into that kind of relationship? And this is what Jesus tells us in this teaching. Simply by desiring it. Simply by responding to his invitation to abide with him. To ask for and then to receive and accept what he has already offered. Jesus invites us to come and make our home with him. To do life with him, to follow him, to stick with him, come what may. Now, many will hear this as a directive, as a command. Some will even hear it as a threat. Do this or else. I prefer to hear it as an invitation to enter into the kind of life-giving, fruit-bearing relationship that only Jesus can offer us, because he is the true vine. I know many of us have already responded to that invitation. If not, today would be a great day for you to do so. But how do we know that we are abiding in Christ in this way, engrafted, rightly related to him? Again, we can take the horticultural test. How do you know if a plant is growing in the garden in your backyard? Or how do you know it's alive? Because it's growing. It's bearing fruit. And so is the test to be applied to our lives in Christ. How do we know we're growing? Ask yourself. This is a self-examination. Is there evidence in my life that I'm growing into the likeness of Christ? Bearing fruit, reproducing his life in the lives of others? Am I the same person I was before I met Christ and decided to follow him? Can I point to any evidence in my life of growth or change or can others point to it in me? Am I caring increasingly more and more about those that he came to save? Do I have a desire to walk more and more closely with him, to love him more dearly, see him more clearly, follow him more nearly day by day? These are kinds of questions we can ask and answer only for ourselves. Or another way to ask the very same question would be, am I experiencing the joy that Jesus promises here? At the end of this teaching, he says, I say these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So anyone who thinks that the Christian life is an onerous, burdensome, joyless experience simply hasn't experienced it yet. Jesus desires that his joy may be in us, and that joy is overflowing. So what could be better than that? And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, is going to expand on that when he says the fruits of the Spirit besides joy is love, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So ask yourself, am I bearing this kind of fruit in my life? Am I experiencing this kind of joy or fruit in the relationship I have with Christ? And if we say, yes, I am, I say, great, that means I'm alive in Christ. And if I say, no, I'm really not, then the question is, what in my life simply needs to be lopped off or pruned so that I can enjoy this relationship? Friends, Jesus offers us a very gracious invitation when he says, come, abide with me, now and eternally. And we are given the opportunity to respond because our spiritual life and vitality is dependent on our being rightly related to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Because without it, we can't bear the fruit of it. And that would be a very regrettable missed opportunity. Amen. And pray with me if you would. Lord, your word is faithful and true. It is so clear in its teaching. Your desire for us is that we are drawn into a right relationship with you and through you then to others. May we hear your word, may we respond to it, such that we may grow and bear fruit for you in the work of your kingdom. And to you be all honor and glory. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.